Good day, and welcome to bioMérieux first half earnings release conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Franck Admant. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Mary. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us to review bioMérieux's performance for the first half of 2022. Before leaving the floor to Alexandre Mérieux, Chairman and CEO, and Guillaume Bourse, CFO, I will just make a very short introduction to provide you with a couple of information. First of all, our press release was published this morning at 7 a.m. This press release can be found on our homepage of our website. In addition, please note that the slides of this meeting will be also available after the call on the homepage of our website or can be downloaded directly from the webcast. Promptly, after the end of the meeting, the webcast and the call will be available in replay on our website. Now going to the presentation contents, after reviewing the performance, we will hold a Q&A session. Questions can come from the conference call and from the chat of the webcast. If you will wish to ask a question, please make sure to identify yourself, name and company. A very last word before starting the presentation. I will not read to the slide which is currently projected, but I recommend you to take note of its contents that remind the usual disclaimer about the forward-looking statements. I now hand the call over to Alexandre Mérieux.
Hello everyone, thank you for joining this this webcast dedicated to our H1 results for 2022. So I will start by giving you a few numbers regarding the performance of bioMérieux, some key highlights of H1. So all in all, the sales are stable compared to last year, and we have a good solid performance in terms of a contributive EBITDA, which is a solid overall performance when we look at the context, and also in line with the guidance that we issued early on this year. And it's worth noticing also that bioMérieux is a debt-free company with a, I would say, room of maneuver. The key growth driver for the performance in H1 were, of course, the success of BioFire, good performance of microbiology, and also from industrial applications. Important move for us during the H1 was the acquisition of a specific diagnostic, which is really reinforcing the portfolio of bioMérieux and our commitment to fight antimicrobial resistance. Worth noting also, and we displayed in the slide, that we have a reinforced portfolio of solutions which were recently launched or which are being prepared for future launch. If I look now at BioFire results, and I would say that in H1, BioFire really demonstrated, I would say, its relevance, the relevance of syndromic approach in time of pandemic, but also in time of non-pandemic. Worth noting also that we see a nice increase of the non-respiratory panels, growing double digits in every region in the world. This is the plan. You know that we have almost doubled the install base of BioFire systems during the last 2 years, and the objective for us is to increase the consumption of different panels per instrument. We were also pleased to be able to have the FDA approval of a new panel being a joint infection, which was FDA approved early on this year. So we are extending our leadership in syndromic testing. We introduced the SPOTFIRE platform during AACC. So as maybe discussed with you during the last call, BioFire SPOTFIRE system is a new platform aiming at entering the near patient testing, so the decentralized space. We are preparing the launch of the respiratory and soft throat panels, and I would say the key attributes of this platform that it will be clear wave, and also the results will be performed in less than 20 minutes, which is a condition to enter into the space of near patient testing. Microbiology, solid performance this first 6 months, with good performance, I would say, all over the world on the key platforms such as ID, HT, and also blood culture, even despite the lockdowns in China. And the news around the Vitek MS Prime, which was CE marked in 21, was FDA cleared in 22, with a good start of the commercial traction of this new and well-performing platform. So major acquisition for us in H1, with acquisition of Specific Diagnostics, a company based in the U.S. Really, the topic for us is to strengthen our portfolio, but mainly to come to the market, to provide to the labs and the physician with a solution addressing a major unmet need, which is rapid AST. So with the Specific Diagnostics and the Reveal platforms, we are aiming at having actionable results on the average of 5.5 hours after positive blood culture. It will be going through FDA filing in Q4, with the breakthrough device designation, so showing that it's truly, I would say, a solution that is aiming at improving healthcare. And we are currently, I would say, supporting the preparation of the FDA filing, the deployment in Europe, also integrating the company and working on the manufacturing scaling up. Immunoassay, the first 6 months have been quite challenging. Some of this was expected because we had a strong base effect from last year linked to the surge of COVID and mainly in India. So we were expecting a base effect on this, on SARS-CoV-2 also. And we also, I would say, suffered a bit from the lockdowns in China, which were quite strong in Q2. We were expecting the pressure to continue on PCT, but so all in all, I would say this is a challenging first half for immunoassay. But of course, we are still focusing on developing the portfolio. VIDAS chikungunya was CE marked. VIDAS nephrocheck for acute kidney injury was FDA cleared. We are preparing the launch of a new platform, and VIDAS TBI should be launched in H1 2023. Worth noticing also that we are facing some issues with the recently launched test TB Agua, where we are facing an unexpected level of false positive. So we are currently going away from the current conversation to assess what is the issue or the current issue that we are solving on TB Agua. Industry, good performance, both on the food market and also the healthcare market, quite even, I would say. Food market is being boosted by the molecular solutions, while for farm applications, this is, I would say, pushed by all our quality control monitoring solutions that we have. And we have a healthy pipeline also. We are launching what we call for farm application, the 3P solution for environmental control, and a big range of Expro assays linked to the Invisible Sentinel range company that we acquired 2 years ago. With this being said, I will now leave the floor to Guillaume to give us an update on the results.
Thank you, Alexandre. Hello, everyone. So let's look at the financial view on what Alexandre already presented in terms of trends. So you have here the view by ranges. So overall, you can see that molecular ranges still represent the first range with 38% of group sales, up 8% as already explained, with, as you might have seen in the press release, a very strong dynamic of plus 30% in Q2. And as already commented, syndromic solutions, so BioFire at a very strong pace, US very strong, but also important to note, non-respiratory growing double digits. Microbiology, our core positions, performed very well at 5% growth, as explained by Alexandre, one-third of group sales. Immunoassay already developed at minus 21%. I can mention that in the decrease, about half of the decrease is coming from this, let's say, base effect or slowdown of demand for COVID-related parameters. About one-third is coming from the PCT continued decrease from the competition in the U.S. And then we have other factors such as China lockdowns in Q2. And industry, just presented by Alexandre as well, plus 5%, both segments. And we can mention that reagents growth is pretty strong at plus 9%, whereas on instruments, we had a very high base of comparison last year. Moving to the view by geography of our stable organic growth, this is all in organic growth, of course. America leads at +4%. Of course, a strong performance in North America with this demand for respiratory panels that was maintained pretty high, and as well for non-respiratory panels. Very satisfying performance in Latin America as well. We can mention specifically Mexico, Argentina, Colombia level of growth, and balanced especially between microbiology and molecular in Latin America. Now turning to EMEA, our second biggest region, so very slightly negative. In Europe, we have the negative effect of slowdown of COVID demand that impacts in Europe both the COVID parameters in the immunoassay portfolio, as well as the demand for respiratory BIOFIRE panel. But in front of that, we are able to grow very nicely in non-respiratory syndromic in Europe, in microbiology, as well as industrial applications. Finally, Asia-Pacific, -6, and very contrasted inside Asia-Pacific, of course. Japan, very strong performance in Japan. You remember that Japan became our second country for BIOFIRE sales, and actually demand continued to be pretty solid and steady in Japan for BIOFIRE. Good performance in Korea and Australia as well. And of course, the first half was impacted for Asia-Pacific by the slowdown, lockdown, and as a consequence, slowdown of demand in China, especially in Q2. Now turning to the P&L. So the first thing to explain is our slight change of presentation for the P&L. So let me come back to that. We are talking about one thing, which is the way we present the amortization of purchase price of acquisition and related transaction cost of acquisition. We basically had two ways historically to report this amortization of acquisition. One way for BIOFIRE, which, as you can see in this first column, H1 2021 published, was in a specific line just for BIOFIRE acquisition amortization between contributive operating income and operating income. That's a -8 that you see for the last year published for one half. And for all the other acquisitions, let's say the smaller ones, like Hybiome, like Invisible Sentinel, we had actually the amortization embedded mainly in cost of sales and above gross margin. So very, too different for historical reasons, let's say. And the acquisition of specific diagnostics triggered a discussion and a thinking of how to treat it, because specific, as you know, is about the size of BIOFIRE in terms of acquisition price. And we decided, together with our auditors and our board, to regroup all the amortization in an homogeneous way in one line, which is also what we see, let's say, most comparables are doing. So we now have all the historical acquisitions, as well as specific diagnostics, of course, in this line of amortization between contributive operating income and operating income. So we hope it's more easy to read and also easier maybe to compare if need be with other companies in the space. So that being said, let's look more in the content of our first half P&L. So net sales, we already commented vastly on the like-for-like 0%, so stable sales. Important to note that, of course, we have a very favorable foreign exchange in terms of sales, and I will comment later on operating profits. As you all know, euro is very weak against the dollar, very visible, but also against many of our currencies where we distribute. So actually +5% in terms of reported sales growth. Second element here is gross profit. Definitely we have a decrease of gross profit percentage from 58.5 last year to 56.6 this year. The first major impact is the transport cost increase. You know that the unitary air freight, unitary sea freight costs are really extremely high compared to 1 year or 2 years ago. That definitely is visible in the gross margin. And then, of course, we have other inflationary costs, some effects on raw material, and some effects on salaries that are more in the manufacturing and logistics part. Turning below gross profit, SG&A up 11% on a like-for-like basis. The main effect here is really on sales and marketing, and the expected, we had already discussed that together, expected progressive return to normal to field sales and marketing activities. Practically, it means that we are restarting marketing activities with customers, congress, promotional activities that were forced to be stopped in 2020 and 2021. But for us, it's a very important way to fuel and to promote our products and to fuel our future growth. As well, of course, in this line, an element of salary increases. R&D is up 8%. We also have the acceleration of activities, especially clinical studies that also were slowed down in the pandemic and are restarting, and some salary increase. So all in, 322 million euro of contributive operating income, 9.4% of sales, and down 20% on the like-for-like basis. Now, if we turn below CEBIT, so now you find this line that was already there, but only for BioFire. Now, amortization of all acquisitions at minus 25 million. The major difference between last year and this year on this line are the transaction costs of specific diagnostics, so lawyer fees, bank fees, etc. Net financial expense is almost stable, slightly improving. Our tax rate, same, almost stable, slightly improving, actually. The lower French corporate income tax helps. And overall, net income down 18% at 228 million euros. If we turn now to the cash flows, we have an EBITDA of 413 million euros. Which is down in line with EBIT. Working capital was negative 106 million in the first half. The major, let's say, business effects are here. The inventory rebuild. We ended up, of course, 2021 with very low inventory. You remember that the super high demand, especially BioFire, in November, December, and then coming into back order in end of January, February. So actually, we are rebuilding this inventory, and that's healthy for our business and to serve our customers. We have some, moves in line with activity for receivables, AR, and payables. And as usual, we have the payment of the seasonal payment, the annual payment of bonuses in H1, which were, of course, pretty strong based on strong 21 results. The second line is important to comment is income tax. We are paying cash-wise very high income tax based on our exceptional 2021 results. So you can see the increase from 102 million last year to 148 in first half this year. CapEx remain at 9% of sales, with major investments being the capacity in the US for BioFire, for Bacti, the blood culture. Also automation of our processes, especially for the BioFire part. And as you know, we are investing in two Chinese plants also to increase our footprint in China. So overall, a free cash flow of 16 million euro in H1, down versus 145 last year. And we invested 334 million euro for the acquisition of specific diagnostics. That includes the part that we paid cash to shareholders of specific diagnostics, as well as the part that we paid to shareholders of specific in shares, and where we have been buying our own shares to compensate and the dilution for our shareholders. So that's all included in the 334. Dividends in H1, and overall a closing net debt position of 67 million euros. We are no more in a net cash, but still a very low level of net debt, so a very comfortable balance sheet position. We have added a slide on the foreign exchange, a big topic this year that you had already seen precedent years. This is really to help those following us on the top line, first column, and on the operating income, second column, to try to have a measure of our exposure. So in H1, the foreign exchange effect are written here, $84 million in sales, $17 million positive in contributive operating income. And we'll discuss later on the overall positive effects for the year in the outlook.
Thank you, Guillaume. The next slide will show you the progress we are making on our CSR roadmap. You know that we have ambitions with targets for 2025 and then for 2030. So this slide is showing the progress we're making on the five pillars. The first one is of course, regarding health, which is the public health mission of bioMérieux, regarding the number of tests, the number of patients that we support through our antimicrobial stewardship solutions. Second objective around energy consumption reduction, where we are progressing also there with big plans to further improve in the years to come. The impact we have on the healthcare ecosystem, working more closely with the patient associations. Objective regarding our people, our employees, regarding incident rates that we want to decrease, of course. We're also working on the diversity, both in gender and nationality, and also a focus we have on the extending company through our philanthropic actions, and also working also on the coverage of our distributors. So with this, we have issued also, we have slightly adjusted upward our guidance for the year, with a projection of the sales being landing between -3% and -6%. We keep the same trends, except maybe for immunoassay, where now we target more to be to have negative mid-teens. And also in our projection, also we foresee a decrease of RP panels based on the strong base effect last year, and hoping that it's moving into that COVID is really moving into an endemic phase. Regarding the CBIT also, we adjusted to expect to land between 580 million euros to 625 million euros. Maybe Guillaume, I will let you maybe fine-tune a bit more the guidance adjusted for the CBIT.
Yes, with pleasure. Maybe coming back on the sales, just to mention that we included also, because this is at current rates, so the foreign exchange effect, which probably for the year could be around 150 to 200 million, we will see. But that's included. And then, as Alexandre said, the major elements compared to the first guidance are really the immunoassay change from stable to negative mid-teens, as well as RP panels, where the COVID-related decrease, I think we had said about, as an assumption early in the year, -30%. The assumption today, but again, with a lot of uncertainty on the last 4 months, could be around -15%. On CEBIT, so of course, this guidance is stated on the new CEBIT definition. When I say new CEBIT, I mean this slight change of amortization of purchase price of acquisitions. So we, of course, restated very transparently the guidance at the beginning of the year, 530-610, with a change of CEBIT definition. It's very mathematically becoming 542-622, so that's a base of comparison of March, and we increase to 580-625. In this increase from these two range, basically the inflation or the additional inflation that we were not foreseeing back in February, March on the freight cost, on raw material, on salary increases in the current environment, we estimate about 40 million negative impact. The integration of specific diagnostics, of course, was not included in our February, March guidance. We had not acquired the company. You remember we said very clearly at acquisition time The impact for this year will be about 10 million of operating loss, mainly in H2. We have -40 million on all these inflationary factors, -10 million on the integration of Specific Diagnostics. We have, of course, a very positive foreign exchange impact. At the beginning of the year, we thought probably -10-15 million. Now probably +40 million in EBIT at the end of the year. The change is about 50 million positive. Overall, FX, 50 million compensates, if you want, inflationary negative and integration of Specific Diagnostics operating loss. With those compensating the, let's say, increased guidance, about 20 million increase for the midpoint is linked to all the rest. The improvement in sales and performance overall out of these effects. With that, I think we can open the floor to the Q&A session.
Yep.
Thank you. If you do wish to ask a question over the phone at this time, please signal by pressing star one on your telephone keypad. Please ensure the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, please press star one to ask a question over the phone. We'll take our first question now from Maja Pataki from Kepler. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my questions. I will start with two and one to you, Alexandre. I mean, great results that you had with BioFire in Q2. Do you have a bit of a visibility what has been driving that? Because if we look at hospitalization rates in the U.S., they were not pronounced with regard, I mean, COVID hospitalizations, they were not pronounced, yet you managed to deliver very strong results. I was wondering what your take is on that. Do you think there is some stocking impact that has been helping Q2 or just some more details would be great. The second question, Guillaume, to you maybe. Thanks very much for the visibility on, you know, the moving parts of the guidance increase and compensating impact from FX for inflation, everything. I was still wondering, what is it that you believe is underlying going to improve in the second half of the year, you know, to generate a stronger EBIT versus H1 if we look at the H2 sales performance, which is still expected to be quite negative? Those are the first two questions. Thanks.
Okay. Maybe we'll take. I will start your question on BioFire in Q2. What is called maybe the BioFire resilience. It's true that we didn't see much more cases in terms of hospitalization, but COVID was still here, maybe at a certain level, depending on the country, but still quite present in the U.S. I think it's. To your question, I think it's showing the resilience of the syndromic approach in hospital setting when people doctors want to know more about the potential causes of infection. To note also that on another plan that we see a nice increase of the non-RP panels 'cause all of them are growing at more than double-digit. This is also showing that in a time when there is less COVID, we see maybe more pathologies or infections coming. That was in line, I believe, with what we wanted, what we are pushing, and to have more or the use of more than two panels per instrument. This is also the good performance is also explained by the ramp-up of the non-RP panels. That's my take for Q2. Remember also that in Q1, we were not able to fully deliver the market, because we had some growing backorders, I would say, in January and February.
On CEBIT, your question was about H2 versus H1. Actually, H2 is very much in line with H1 performance. There are even these effects that I mentioned on inflation effects actually ramping up, because salary increases and salary measures we have to continue, and they were only partially in H1. The inflationary effects on the raw material are actually more ramping up than down. All this is taken into account, but that doesn't. The guidance is not on a better H2 than H1. It's very much aligned in terms of trends. So some of the better, the increase in guidance is also some of the better performance in each one that we include in our revised slightly upward, for the year.
Okay, and maybe just quickly a follow-up on the spot fire. Can you just share some initial feedback that you were receiving while you were showcasing the new offer?
Yes, so it's very primary because it's under MTA funding. Feedback, first, I believe people trust the BioFire existing platform, but they were happy to see that we have been investing in a new platform that we're able also to target a new market with the decentralized testing. And I would say positive feedback. It was a really semi reveal of the platform, but I would say the time to result was really maybe the key attributes, which was well noted or I would say appreciated by the potential future customers.
Great. Thank you very much for answering my questions.
We'll now take our next question from Hugo Solvay of BNP Paribas Exane. Please go ahead.
Hi, hello. Thanks for taking the question. First, a quick follow-up on the tuberculosis test, which, Alexandre, you mentioned you were holding back on commercial deployment. Can you maybe give us more detail on when would you expect the issues you are seeing to be resolved, what timelines? Second, maybe more for Guillaume, at the beginning of the year, you mentioned 100 million of incremental costs for 2022. Just wondering how you are tracking against this as of mid-year. And lastly, on margins, should we think about the implied margin of H2 2022 as a good starting point for 2023, if you can give us any idea or color on what are the moving parts for the cost base in 2023, that would be helpful. Thank you.
Okay, so I will take the first one. So yes, regarding the TB test, I said that we noted that we had a high positive rates in the result, which appeared to be too high. So we have decided to stop the conversation to further study and investigate more, I would say, on the R&D and industrialization front, what were the causes of that. Too soon to tell you, it's under review at this stage. So these are things which happened, but it was good to react sooner than as soon as we saw that maybe the numbers were a bit high. Yeah. But too soon to tell you when it will be solved.
Coming on the incremental cost for 2022, so definitely the trend, as everyone remembers, is of course a return to more activities, especially on the commercial side, but not only, some parts of R&D. Just want to correct that I don't think I was so precise as 100 million. I gave you an idea, but no worries. That's all included in the earlier guidance. The update on this is that definitely we are returning to more normal commercial activities, a more normal trend of clinical studies. So we see that in our P&L, as I commented earlier. We see that also in our guidance, where the field was slightly different is actually the inflationary factors, as I mentioned, especially transport costs. Very visible and impacting at this stage. Salary increases, obviously, to compensate our teams, our employees, our managers, with a higher cost of living in many countries. And the third is raw material, and I would say raw material has a bit of a lag effect, also due to inventory, but clearly it is a strong effect, but not yet so visible in the H1 P&L. Clearly will be more ramping up in H2, but already included in the updated guidance, and probably in 2023 as well. Implied margin for H2 versus 2023, as you know, it's our policy not to give mid-long-term guidance, so I don't think we want to comment on 2023. It's a complex environment for sure. We are working on our growth prospects, on our cost management, cost structure, cost trends prospect as well for 2023. And of course, we'll come back to all of you in due time.
Okay, so thank you very much. Just a quick follow-up, if I may, in terms of pricing and given your leadership in the multiplexing space, have you been able to increase or pass price increase in molecular diagnostic in H1?
No, not on the BioFire range. We have a leadership, but we have competition also. And this is not the range where we have many work today so far to work. We work on everything, yeah, to increase NSP, and this is ongoing work being done by the teams. But no, we don't see an impact on ASP in H1 on BioFire, and I'm not sure this will be the range where we'll be able to pass a price increase.
Thank you very much. I get back in the queue.
Thank you. There is a question on the web from Stephen Privo regarding competitive pressure for immunoassays. So pressure on immunoassay, so we have PCT, of course, and it's been there for a while now. So we were number one in PCT, the number one animal in PCT, and we keep on seeing the pressure on the PCT on the PCT test. I don't believe we have seen the end of the competition, or we have not reached the plateau yet of PCT in the US. The rest of the competition, I would say it's a classic. Huh? It's we are fighting also with bigger, higher throughput systems, and we're not competing with them. But sometimes when the labs are consolidating, they move to higher throughput platforms. Other things I can comment, there is no specific, I would say, differentiation regarding the competition on an immunoassay. What happened in maybe we'll answer the next question. What happened in H1? Some of this was expected. We had a high base of sales in H1, mainly in India and other countries linked to the COVID situation, which didn't happen this year, so it was expected to slow down. PCT, what else? Also, we can say something.
China.
Oh, China, yeah. We didn't. I believe we planned for the base effect and for PCT. We didn't plan for the China impact from Q2.
There's a question on the webcast on how much the PCT test has normalized. So as Alexandre just said, we have not normalized. We have not reached a plateau. And in H1, it was slightly below 60 million. So actually, the ballpark of 100 million is still valid. There's another question on the downturn of immunoassay revenues and the split. So I said it earlier, but I can repeat to clarify. On the downturn of immunoassays by 21%, you can basically consider that half of it is linked to the slowdown of demand for COVID-related parameters. And when we say COVID-related, remember that a part of immunoassays, and that's a major effect, were used last year for the monitoring of COVID patients, for example, D-dimer, which is a parameter for thrombosis in India, was very much in demand last year. So that's the kind of decrease that we see. And this effect is about 50%, half of the decrease. Second, the PCT US pressure and loss of volume is about one-third of the loss. And then the rest, China and other factors.
Any question over the phone?
Yes, we can take our next question now from Odysseus Mainciotis of Bernberg. Please go ahead.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my question. Another follow-up on PCT testing, if I may. I mean, you just mentioned PCT testing takes about 20 to 30% of your immunoassay sales, and as you clearly communicated, has been a drag for the division for quite a while. So is there a floor to that pressure? How should we think about it? Would, let's say, 10% of sales, of immunoassay sales, be a reasonable level for this franchise to remain stable? And then I have a follow-up.
Sorry, I'm not sure I understood the question. It's about the exposure of PCT sales to...
No, I'm asking whether there's a floor on the pressure on PCT testing, as in would 10% of sales be a reasonable level for this franchise to plateau, let's say, 10% of immunoassay sales?
Oh, I don't know how much is it today. So we were watching each other, we don't have the answer, so...
Again, PCT is about, as I said, in H1 is about slightly less than 60 million in terms of sales, so that's the overall exposure, not just US, overall overall PCT in the world.
Out of
almost 200 million. So it's one third of our immunoassay sales, PCT, not just US. The decrease was actually in line, if you zoom just on PCT, was in line with the immunoassay, about 20-ish percent decrease in H1. And then the other element, as Alexandre said, is that we have not reached a plateau. It will likely continue, and we cannot give you at this stage a view on the level at which it might stabilize, if that's the question, sorry.
Okay, no, that's right. And another one on your BioFire franchise. So do you have any automation projects ongoing to simplify your BioFire torch workflows? And do you expect QIAGEN's QIAstat DX Rise launch to affect your commercial traction here?
No, yeah, but the big plan is to find and launch the SPOTFIRE to go towards a more decentralized testing. But no, with the torch, we have up to 12 units, and we believe this is enough today to meet the needs of a mid-size or high throughput laboratory. So no plan to increase, I would say, the throughput on the existing spot. We'll keep on working on the menu, and the next platform will be mainly going decentralized because it will be CLIA waived.
That's all. Thank you very much for that.
Yeah, there's a question from Louise Stiefel on the guidance coming from 542 million. I don't know if everyone can read. Adding the 40 million positive FX, the 10 million of capital gain, which is right on the building disposal in the US that was done in H1, minus 40 inflation, minus 10 specific diagnostic. Why is the new guidance not 540? But actually, because we have a number of other factors that improve, we have taken into account some better performance in H1. So that's what I mentioned already in the bridge between the midpoint, that basically the midpoint of guidance improves by 20 million with, in the way I see it, FX improvement of 50 that compensates inflation 40 and specific diagnostic 10. The rest of the, so basically compensating each other. So the 20 million increase in guidance is really on the sales performance and other factors. 10 million capital gain is a rise for H1, but just to mention it's one visible positive, but there are some one-off negatives. For example, we closed a very small site in the US. It's a 5 million restructuring in our P&L in H1. So all in, we see the different one-offs of H1 more or less offsetting each other. So apart, yeah. Next question is on BioFire. Indication of respiratory reagent growth in H2, outlook for 23. So basically, as you see, we have respiratory reagent growing 15% in H1. I mentioned maybe too quickly, but in the guidance that respiratory for the year would be around, and again with a big uncertainty on the last 4 months, around minus 15 for the year. So the H2, maybe you can do the math, or is a lot of negative months on a very high comp basis in H2 last year that will move the full growth from plus 15 end of June to minus 15 end of December. So to make it simple.
If we don't see another variant.
Yes. And of course, with a lot of caveats and uncertainty on demand for the last 4 months.
Maybe a bit.
There's a question on the split between RP and non-RP. Pretty simple. We are 2/3, 1/3 for H1. 2/3 respiratory panels, 1/3 non-respiratory panels revenues.
Stéphane.
Let's come back to the question over the phone.
Yes, we can take our next question now from Peter Welford of Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my questions. I've got a couple. Firstly, just returning to the capital gain, just to understand. With the 10 million or so, I think it's a bit more than that, for the U.S. building sale, is that the charges to offset that with the U.S. site closure and other sort of one-offs, are they also, just to be clear, in the other operating income line, or are those booked across a variety of different OpEx lines, just to think about that? Could you also, just on the accounting, give us what we should be thinking about as the annual amortization charge for specific diagnostics? I guess I'm thinking, if we take that 10 million that you said was the sort of charge for transaction fees in the first half, what should we be assuming in the second half is a good number for that line, when we've got obviously the general amortization running through there? Thirdly, could you just give us the actual syndromic testing sales in euros, possibly for the first quarter and the second quarter, just to help with modeling? Obviously you've given a CER and that's helpful, but I guess given the U.S., particularly the U.S.-centric business, it'd be helpful, could we possibly have the actual euro sales for first quarter and second quarter? Then just finally, and more generally, just on VITEK MS, is it possible to give us any feedback on how that launch is going? Obviously, sort of an area you've been in, but through a partner and now going it alone. Any feedback you've had on that and how you're competing in, I guess, a market that is already to some extent established, but you can leverage, I imagine, new relationships. Thank you.
Okay. I will take the one on VITEK MS. As mentioned, it was CE marked last year. It has just been FDA cleared. FDA clear. For a while we have been under, I would say, pilot launches on the hypercare. No, there is good traction. I believe that so far I'm looking at Frank, but I think we have closed up to 100 systems which were installed since the launch. That's what we call a good traction. We had to do some hypercare in the beginning, like for every new instrument, but it's on track, and this is well received by the customers. Maybe Guillaume for the other questions.
For the other questions, thank you for the precise question. Capital gains, it's actually exactly 9 million, the capital gain. It's definitely in the line, the P&L line called other income and just below gross margin. Definitely it's a one-off capital gain. To be more precise, what I mentioned is that there are other one-offs of several millions negative. When I look at the different one-offs, this positive and a few negatives, I mentioned among the negatives, a simple one, which is a restructuring provision for one small site that we will close in the U.S. I believe that they offset on the plus and minus. That's why I did not mention the capital gain that I understand you are looking at. I did not mention it in the change of guidance because there are others that compensate. The others, it was your question, the negatives are in different lines, actually. When you do restructuring, I think it depends on the department people are working in, where we put the provision, so it's in different lines. Your question was then about the annual amortization of specific diagnostics. The annual on the full year basis, pure amortization is estimated around 12 million. Knowing that in H1 was very special because we had only one month and a half of amortization. Amortization is the long-term amortization of the purchase price accounting. We had on top the one-off in this line of the, as I said earlier, the transaction costs, lawyers, investment bank, due diligence for about 8 million. In H1 we had probably something like eight transaction costs plus one amortization for specific diagnostics. On a normal full year basis, without transaction cost, it would be 12 million, around 12 million per year. And you had a question about syndromic sales. I'm not sure if, sorry, maybe I noted fast. The share of US sales for syndromic is 75%. Maybe we had said already, but maybe your question was more on Q1, Q2 figures, no?
Yeah, to be honest, it was just simple. Given that US, it would be really helpful if you could just give us the Euro sales for BioFire syndromic testing in first quarter and second quarter, because I guess given the US business, obviously, if we just take your CER figures, the FX is obviously much greater on BioFire than it is on some of the other lines. So could you just give us the actual Euro sales first quarter and second quarter? It would help for the BioFire syndromic business.
Yes, I will do that. Let's move. I'll come back to it in 5 minutes. Just time to plug it out. No worries.
So we get back to you. Maybe we'll take another question. Any question over the phone?
Question. Yes, we have a follow-up question from Maja Pataki of Kepler. Please go ahead.
Alexandra, I was two questions. First of all, how shall we think about the impact from of the 3P launch in the second half of the year? Is it something that takes a lot of market education, or is that something that you believe, you know, you should fairly easy see sales coming through? And the second question, does the breakthrough that you mentioned from the FDA for the specific diagnostics actually have a impact on financials, or is it more like a flag effect to the market, or, you know, how shall we read that? Thank you.
I didn't catch your second question, Maya. Sorry, can you
repeat? With
regards to the FDA approval of the specific diagnostics offering, I was wondering if there was, you know, if there is anything that has an impact on financials, or whether that's just more a signal effect to the market, like to your customers.
I think for me, it's more a signal effect that this is addressing an important medical need. That's the way to see, because I'm not sure it's going to fasten the time to result for the approval. So this is more a signal that that this type of solution is expected on, I would say, on the public health front. Regarding your question of 3P launch, I don't think we should expect it will take some time, because the 3P is like it's a big system, in fact. Huh? It's an instrument for automating the reading of the culture media with the specific media associated to a software. So it's kind of a project mode, a bit like we did with the lab automation project. So this is something which will be mainly dedicated to big pharma companies. And this is ongoing, because I think the official launch is just right now, or happened maybe end of June. So that's something for the years to come. But I don't think you can believe a specific impact on the growth of bioMérieux this year or even next year.
Okay, and maybe just
it could be part of the growth of industry, but it's more project mode with the customers.
Okay, and then just quickly a follow up. I'm not sure whether you can provide some visibility, but it will be very helpful to understand how you see trends in BioFire develop in July and August. You know, given the fact that Q3 last year was such a strong quarter, how much of a fall off are you already seeing, on and how much, you know, is anticipated to happen towards the end of the third quarter?
Yeah, so pretty simply, the trend that we see in July and August is very similar to the trend that we've seen in May and June. Pretty solid demand, which is, let's say, surprising compared to the past for spring and summer, much higher than usual for this time of year. But similar, no, there's no acceleration nor deceleration in July, August compared to May, June. And of course, this is where we took into account this, what we have in our hands today, into the figures that we gave you and the range for the full year. That's why I was saying earlier that the main uncertainty for us is the last 4 months demand, which is always a pretty important period for respiratory demand. So we have to see.
Yeah, and to be frank, it's very difficult to read because some countries are still under COVID waves, some in Asia Pacific, some are not. We saw in some countries flu coming, so very difficult to read at this stage. But it's true that the demand has remained quite steady.
I come back to the earlier question. Yes, thank you, Maya. I come back to the earlier question on the syndromic for Q1, Q2. So very simple, it's extremely similar. 290-ish million euro in Q1 and 290 million in Q2, making 580 and a few million euro, 580 and a few million euro in H1. So, yeah. I hope that answers your question earlier. We have a question from Christophe Raphael Genet on the inflation on raw material, logistics, energy. How much is fixed and how much are already negotiated for 2023? How much is not? I'm in charge of purchasing. I can tell you it's a pretty big load and incredible situations for our teams to manage with our suppliers. With news every day, be it on energy, I think you all see that about electricity in Europe, of course. Logistics is a bit more stable at a high level in the last few months. And raw material, we have news every day, changing. So there's a lot to. I don't think there's much actually fixed for next year. It's quite actually the time of year for many of our raw materials, where suppliers come back with their view, with their need for next year.
There's a question also on immunoassay. What are the expected launches that can offset the PCT? So basically, we had a healthy pipeline recently, and we had dengue last year, we had chikungunya, so we have a full range now to on virus for detection of arboviruses. So we. TBI to be back on track. We have just FDA clearance of Vitas Astute NephroCheck, and we are preparing for next year the launch of a thoracic brain injury. So this pipe, we believe, should offset in the course of time the decline of PCT.
We have a question earlier. Alexandre comments price increase, actually no price increase for BioFire. And of course, it's a big topic, price increases to offset all these. So of course, the question is about the other divisions, the other product range and divisions. So basically, we believe where we can have a bit more possibilities are clearly in the industrial applications as well as microbiology. That being said, it's very general. It's, of course, very dependent on a country-per-country basis, depending on our position, depending on our competition, and of course, the length of the contracts, be it public, on multi-year contracts subject to tenders, or private, of course, customers. So we are working on that with our teams, already some, especially on the industrial applications in H1, we need to follow that. But again, very different on depending on the situation per customer, per country, per Any other question on the phone?
Yes, we can take our next question now from Delphine Lelouet of Societe Generale. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, good afternoon. thank you very much for taking my question. Just to be back on the price increase, if I hear you well, Guillaume and Alexandre, it sounds like there is no real price increase seen in H1 regarding microbial and industrial application. And secondly, regarding the molecular biology, are we talking about a slight erosion in the range of 1 to 5%? Am I correct when I think about that? And I have also other question regarding how much was the salary increase in H1 broadly for bioMérieux. Also, I try to understand regarding BioFire and specifically the GI panel, how big is the GI panel within the non-RP panel? Are we also talking about a two-third, one-third breakdown? And finally, I was wondering, have you noticed any change in terms of pattern usage on the client side for BioFire? Do we see also a normalization in terms of usage, in terms of the number of units, in terms of number of labs? Are the same labs doing the same panels as the one you've seen last year or not? And finally, more broadly, I think the industrial application performance is a bit weak. Of course, we had a very good H1 last year, but how could we think of that? And especially when I see all the issue that the food industry is going through right now. So can you let me know what sort of growth you're targeting at the beginning? I mean, 2-3 years ago, prior to the COVID, you were thinking about 7-8% annual growth. It sounds to be too high right now, where we are more in the range of 5%. What sort of comment, what sort of acceleration can we see within the industrial application? Thank you.
Okay, you had many questions. I'll try to remember them all. Industry. Yes, H1 was at 5, but I think instrument could maybe was a bit impacted by instruments. No, I think on the, you know, I don't like to give too much long-term guidance, but I believe industry could be could still, I would say, reach the high single-digit growth, because there is a good pipeline, because the pharma industry is booming and they need quality control, quality monitoring, and regarding the food, I believe our molecular ranges also are set for future growth. So I remain quite confident on the potential of the industrial applications. Your question around the usage of FilmArray, it's difficult to note in what I said. The good thing with FilmArray that now we see our customers are using more and more panels, and you have seen also that install base has not increased so much in H1. This is normal, I would say, after 2 years where it doubled. So the trend is the rise of a non-RP panel. It's also linked to the slowdown of COVID, but I see this is what we can expect to see, I believe. If it's becoming endemic, this is what we can expect to come for the months to come. The other question, I'm sorry, maybe you had them.
So price increases. Basically, in H1 overall, we are kind of stable in clinical applications and growing, as I said, increasing prices in industrial applications. So stable in clinical, increasing in industrial applications, but with action plans that are launching and ramping up with the timeline of the contract, etc., as we already mentioned, in the clinical applications part, but not overall on the
role. But clearly, everybody is working on it.
Yes.
Salary increases,
so I think we are around 5 or slightly above 5% overall for this year, including we have some waves of course, normal annual salary increases early in the year, and we had to add some measures for the lower salaries in a number of countries, especially US, France, but others as well, trying to help offset the additional cost of living for our teams in those countries.
Any plan for more salary increase this year?
We are, to be frank, we are adapting to the situation depending on the countries when it's needed. We are working on it. I don't have projections to make, but we keeping making sure that our employees have a decent lifestyle is important to us. So we are addressing the need
is there. The latest measures were released this summer, so we can expect that the next will be the annual one early next year, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
And GI remains definitely the major one in the non-respiratory, for sure.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And maybe we are
still somebody over the phone.
Maybe we can take maybe one last question. Is there still people available?
Yes, we have our final question from the phone from Hugo Solvay of BNP.
Okay, cool.
Please go ahead.
Hi again. Quick follow-up. We've recently seen in microbiology one of the competitors of Specific Diagnostics striking a commercialization deal with a large diagnostic company. Does that change anything for you guys in terms of the rollout of Specific Diagnostics? Just curious to hear your thoughts, to have your thoughts on that. And lastly, Alexandre, you mentioned in your prepared remark that you have some room to maneuver in terms of M&A. Just after having closed the Specific Diagnostic deal, how eager are you for to do additional deals? Thank you.
We remain open, but I would say it has to be pragmatic, so the right value, and it has to be strategic. So we keep on looking at things that are. Let's say also in the current time, it's important to make sure that we have to see also the market. We keep on having some scrutiny on potential new technologies, but nothing specific to announce, of course. And on the BDN Accelerate, no impact, because Accelerate was here before. We believe we are quite differentiated to what Accelerate. But it's I think it's it would be might be a good support to Accelerate to partner with somebody bigger. But I don't think it has an impact. We have very very specific and innovative features compared to Accelerate. So we don't see that as a we'll see, but we don't see that today as a blocking factor for us to increase the penetration of Specific.
Any more questions?
No.
Okay.
Thank you.
So thank you very much for your attention and participation. I just remind you that our next communication will be on October 26th for the Q3 sales performance release. And with that, we wish you all the best for this afternoon and see you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
This concludes today's call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.